Words in the Old Testament, the law was given to Moses from God through the angels. Now, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. In other words, by the sacrifice of the laws that they've transgressed, make a sacrifice, it still couldn't make them perfect, because every year they would be reminded again, and the priest would have to go in behind the veil once every year, but he could not go back there without first offering a sacrifice for his own sins. And you know, people seem to put people up on pedestals and think, well, he's a man of God, he won't sin. Now, I disagree with you on that, if that's the way you think about God giving people, because the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. We've all sinned. And God uses sinful men to preach. If he didn't, there wouldn't be no preacher. Right? You understand? I mean, we're all sinners. All of us. From Adam on down. Adam started all of it, probably. Now, verse 2. For then, in other words, if by the offering of the blood of the law they transgressed, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, if you committed a sin and offered a blood sacrifice, why do it every year? In other words, what he's fixing to tell us here is when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he died for sins once for all, you understand? The sins are done away with. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 2. For then would they have not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. Well, brother, I don't have a conscience of sin anymore. I know I'm a sinner. I know what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? In verse 25, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord then. And he goes on to say, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin and death. So Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. You know what the will of God is in your life today? For you to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, how can they be saved? By the doctrine in Romans to Philemon, rightly divided. Now, watch what he says there. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices, in other words, every year, but in those sacrifices there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. In other words, where there is no law, Romans 4:15, y'all can take these notes down and look them up, but you can read them now if you want to. Romans 4:15, where there is no law, there is no transgression. And Paul said in the book of Romans, now the righteousness of God without the law. That was not known back in Genesis to Malachi. It was not known in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus Christ was under the law. In other words, in Matthew chapter 8, he told a leper to go offer the sacrifices that Moses told you to. And you can find that back in Leviticus chapter 14. That a leper had a certain sacrifice. Jesus Christ himself was circumcised at 8 days old, according to the law. You understand? So this is law. No law in here. The law is nailed to the cross. In other words, we look back at Calvary, and I don't look back to Calvary through the law. I look back to Calvary through faith. In other words, I have faith to believe that when God wrote Romans to Philemon to me, that the law is done away with. I don't have to have a sacrifice for this law. Jesus Christ is my sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 5 is very clear about that. Now, in Hebrews 10, verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Could all those sacrifices take away their sins back here? Could it? No, it couldn't. They, you know why? Because they had to do it every year, once a year. Well, when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believing that He died for all your sins, then the law is out of the way. The law is not made for a righteous man, what Paul told Timothy, but for the lawless, the disobedient. The law is not made for a righteous man, so the law is done away with in here. But the law will be back in force over here on this other side after the rapture of the church. God will deal with Israel through the Old Testament law. No New Testament in here. No New Testament in here. Nor in Hebrews through Revelation. The New Testament won't be made until the second coming when Jesus Christ comes back to rule with a rod of iron. And He will establish the second covenant, if you please. That's what He called it. He done away with the first that He may establish the second. In other words, a new covenant over here with the house of Israel. He said, that's when I will take away their sins. So their sins couldn't be taken away by the blood of the bulls and goats, you understand? But ours is taken away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why a lot of your new translations leaves out the blood in Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1 and Colossians chapter 2. They leave out the redemption through His blood. They leave the blood out. And without the shedding of blood, according to Hebrews 9, there is no remission for sins. Now, in Hebrews 10, verse 5, wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In other words, the Holy Spirit came upon a virgin called Mary. She bore a child, and the angel told them what to call His name, Emmanuel, which in Matthew chapter 2 is being interpreted, God with us. God is a spirit. These words that I have in the 1611 King James Bible, they are spirit, they are life, and they are truth. Now, watch what He says here. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I. Y'all got any idea who the I is? Now, this is my feeling about it, okay? You hear? You hear how I'm saying this? Hold your place in. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now, we're talking about the will of God today. In Romans to Philemon, what is the will of God? In this time that we live in right now, and what is this, 2012? Yeah. What is the will of God today? Well, it's the same thing it was after Acts 18. Now, you know, I could go back and say Acts 9, but for clarity, I'm going to say Acts 18. Because Paul told us to rightly divide the word of truth. That's a reason. Now, in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, not a word. He didn't say in the beginning there's a word. He said in the beginning was the Word. The Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. If I want to show you God, I've got to get a 1611 King James Bible and read you what's in the pages of this book right here. Not the printer's footnotes and stuff, beloved. Not the stuff that they add to it, but the words of God Himself. If I want to know what God told Moses back here, I'll go back and I'll read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I found out what God said. If I want to know what God said to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I go back in, I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know what God, that Jesus Christ gave, God, what God gave to Jesus Christ for him to give the 12 apostles is God's word. It's written down in a 1611 King James Bible. Now, the reason I emphasize a 1611 King James Bible, and I want to show you why, just two places. Well, I may show you three. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 25. You'll have Psalms and then Proverbs on the right-hand side coming towards Isaiah. Proverbs chapter 25. Now, I know a friend of mine, I talked to him about this situation, and I talked to several people in another church about this situation, and you know what they do? They had rather believe their denomination than to believe God Almighty. Jesus Christ came to bear witness of the truth. I am to bear witness of the truth, not a lie. You understand? My job is not to twist and rest the scriptures to make you like me or something that we do in this class. My job is to teach you the truth. If God said, make no image in the likeness of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water below, bow not down to them. In Leviticus 26, he said, do not stand any of them in your yard to bow down to them. He said in Deuteronomy 4 and 7, he said, you saw no similitude. He's talking to Moses back here now. I know what God told Moses. He said, be careful. Said, you didn't see no similitude when I talked to you. Said, don't make no image in the likeness of anything. Do y'all know people that make images of things and they bow down to them? They got one down there, and I watched two travelers, Rio de Janeiro. Ain't that where that thing is up on top of that mountain? Picture of Jesus up there, supposedly. Big statue. They went up there and they kissed his feet. That's, I don't know what it's made out of, concrete or something. And you know where that thing's at right now? Right where they built it. You know where it'll be tomorrow if God don't destroy it? Right where they built it. It can't move. It can't speak. It can't do anything for you at all. And God said, that is an abomination. And that's why God destroyed Israel. So I know what God told Moses back here to do and not to do. Then I know what Jesus Christ told these people here to do and not to do. He told them to keep the law. So in Proverbs 25, verse 23, the north wind brings forth rain. So doeth angry countenance a backbiting tongue. I mean, that's what your New King James says. That's exactly what the New King James says. What did God say? The north wind drives away rain. Does it?
Yes. Doing it now. That north wind picked up and blowing the clouds.
It's blowing them out of here. North wind driving it out.
You can see that coming.
It come out of the southwest yesterday, and I mean it came. In the north, God said, whoa, that's enough. And he turned the north wind around, and there she's going. Sun's going to shine this evening. Do y'all believe the book?
Amen.
What did God say? The north wind drives away rain. NIV says it brings rain. Now, somebody lied, didn't he? Did somebody lie? They sure did. Well, that ain't all. Go to Isaiah. Y'all know the verse. Chapter 7. I apologize, I didn't tell you what chapter. I'm whole Proverbs, and I've forgot to tell you whole Proverbs, but not chapter 25. We're going to go back to Proverbs, though. in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now, you know what your new Bibles do? Curds. Have you ever looked up curds in a dictionary? I used to think it was spelled, I tried to find it the other day and I couldn't find it. I was spelling it K-U-R-D. K? No, it starts with a C-U-R-D-S. Do you know what the Noah Webster 28, the English dictionary, says about curds? It's what you make cheese from. The New King James, most all the others, change butter to curds. You don't make butter out of curds. You make butter out of milk. You know how I know that? I ain't. Now listen, I'm not totally dumb. I did go to school a little bit. We got one at my house out in right now. It's a churn. You see, almost you old folks, older people in here, not old folks, I'm old. Y'all probably have churned butter in one time, hadn't you, in your life? You never have? Oh, you have missed all the fun. You ever churned butter? Not you? I bet you Russell has. Marie, do you ever have to?
I didn't, but my parents
have told me. We even got a butter mold at my house. It's made out of wood. It's got a hole in the center of it with a little peg that comes up. And the peg comes out, and in the bottom of it's got a flat plate on it. You turn it upside down, and you can put the butter in there and make a mold, make a butter mold out of it. And take the thing when you get the butter, when the butter sets up, you take that little rod and push the pad out of it. But wait a minute. I got a better answer than that. Why don't we ask God the question this morning about where butter comes from? Would y'all like to see what God would say to you? Yes. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. You see, some of y'all don't know how to make butter, so God's going to tell you how, in case you ever have to make your own butter someday. But you got to buy milk that's got cheese, got the cream in it. You can't do it with that milk I use. It ain't got that. Some of that milk I use ain't never seen a cow.
That's funny, Percy.
Do what?
Funny. That's
right,
Percy.
Yeah. Raining. In Proverbs 30, verse 33, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth what?
Butter.
You know, these dumb people that say God said this when he didn't say that, they're going to answer for every word that they've spoken in the name of God someday. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. You know a lot of truth in the book of Proverbs. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10. You see, that's why and you can go to Genesis 1:1. You can go to Mark 1:1, and you can find all of these other translations online. In the beginning, God created the heaven, not the heavens. Created the heaven. And I don't know of another translation, not even the New King James, that does not mess that verse up. Every single one of them. In the beginning, God created the heavens. No, he did not. In the beginning, God created the heaven. And in Genesis 1:2, the earth was void. The earth became void. God said in Isaiah, he did not create it void. He created it. It became void. The devil and his angels tried to take over, and you can find that in Ezekiel chapter 28 and other places. It was destroyed. God destroyed everything that was here and recreated it. In the recreation, if you please, when God created Adam out of the dust of the ground and Eve out of Adam, took a rib out of Adam and made a woman, brought the woman to the man, and the man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And you'll find in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, that Paul said, "This is a great mystery." But he said, "I speak concerning Christ and the church." The church, the body of Christ, are members of his glorified body. Not this body back here that we read about in the book of Hebrews, but a new creation, a new creature. And y'all know what God told Adam back here in Eden? Replenish. Do y'all know what your new translations do with that word replenish? Do y'all know what replenish means, don't you? I mean, we're all adults in here, except this little fella here. I probably couldn't explain it to him as young as he is anyhow. Redoing something. That means it's...
Do it over again.
I wish y'all would study the book of Ecclesiastes and get a grip on what God's trying to show the world. There is nothing new under the sun. That which is already was. That which shall be has already been. Ain't nothing new. Y'all think these jets are new? No.
Computer.
There ain't nothing new on the sun. It's already been here before. God destroyed it and he recreated it. But you know what your new translations do with that word replenish? Fill up. Yeah. Now you know what that just destroyed?
Yeah.
That just destroyed the whole truth throughout this book right here. God said replenish. In other words, it was something here before Adam. Now, replenish. And when you study Genesis chapter 1, you'll find that the earth brought forth herbs. It's already in it. You understand? It was destroyed. It's coming back up again. Study the book of Ecclesiastes real carefully. There's a lot of wisdom in that book. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 7. Then said I believe that's the word of God, Jesus Christ made flesh, according to John 1:14. The word was made flesh. Now, then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book, not books, volume of the book, it is written of me. Now, go back to verse 7, skip the parentheses. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, above, when he saith, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. In other words, he's going to do away with the first covenant, and he won't do away with it until the second coming over here. A testament is a force after men are dying, but it's not in a force until he comes back. This is still old law back here. It's according to Hebrews, it's ready to vanish away. You understand? The Old Testament has not vanished away yet. So we're neither. We are the spirit of the, we preach the spirit of the new covenant, not the letter. You understand? You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Now, what was God's will for the Lord Jesus Christ when he sent him here? Got any idea? Let's look at it. Let's ask God what the Lord's purpose was here. So let's start off in Romans chapter 15. And might as well go ahead and take John chapter 18, Romans 15 and John chapter 18. We'll start there. You know, people love to hear messages like, you know, God wants all of y'all to be rich. Oh, man, if you would just send this so-and-so character that's as sorry as you are $1,000, God will give you back $10,000. Y'all ever watch Joel Osteen? That's his thing. Oh, God wants all of you to be well. No, he don't. The will of God for today is that men see the fellowship of the mystery, which was hid in God until revealed to the Apostle Paul in Acts 18. So from Acts 18 on, and Paul didn't make that known until Acts 22, and he became a prisoner for people in the world today so they could have the salvation that was provided for those who first trusted in Christ in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12. We who first trusted in Christ, their sins were placed upon Jesus Christ, which was hid in the scriptures. My sins were hid in God, the message that showed me salvation for us, in whom ye also trusted. After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. After that, you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And you can't get out of it. You know, it's like putting you in a jail cell. The jailer locked the door. You ain't getting out of there until somebody comes and unlocks that door. I watched a crazy movie last night. This fellow's friend got put in jail, and there was a train sitting outside the jail out there, and he took a chain and hooked it to the train and hooked the hook in the bar, and when the train took off, y'all know what happened? His buddy got out of jail. Tore the walls out. Somebody got to let you out. We ain't going to be like Peter. Peter was in jail and God sent an earthquake. Paul and Silas was in jail. God sent an earthquake. Shook the place. All the bars opened up and chains and all fell off the prisoners. But they didn't leave. Peter left. The angel of the Lord took Peter out of there. And the doors opened on their own when they got to them. Now, believe what your Bible says, Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister. Did y'all see the word a? Mm-hmm. Amen. That don't signify one, does it?
Yes.
The, if it had been the,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You understand?
Right.
Jesus Christ was a minister. Look at it. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's a reverence to Israel. For the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause will I confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. Well, beloved, I can't get into that. Israel is low down now today. They're not God's people today. Jesus Christ was a minister for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers. What promises they had, Jesus Christ was confirming those promises to the 12. And if you'll please go to John chapter 18 and then take Luke chapter 19. You see, I can't follow Jesus. I heard preachers the other day, yesterday I believe it was, or no, the day before yesterday, Friday. I was listening to it, and he's talking about Jesus came to give us life, that we may have life and have more abundant. Oh, he didn't come for that for me and you.
Yes.
This is why he came for me and you, to die for us. Now, in John chapter 18, verse 33, Jesus Christ is being tried. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Now watch his answer. Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now watch Pilate's attitude in verse 38. You'll get this same attitude today. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? Man, you try to show somebody that we're not under the law, that we're in total grace, and we're not in the covenants of promise as those who first trusted in Christ. You try to show them the truth of that thing, and it's like talking to a brick wall. You try to tell them you don't follow Jesus Christ as they did in his earthly ministry. We follow Christ as Paul followed Christ in his heavenly vision. And they look at you like, well, you some kind of nut. We believe in following Jesus ourselves. Like somebody said that we believe in worshiping Paul. I don't believe in worshiping Paul. I thank God for Paul. I thank God for godly men that were before us that showed us the truth of these things. I thank God for the knowledge I learned from Brother E.C. Moore. I don't worship E.C. Moore. But I thank God for the knowledge that the man gave to me. That somebody gave to him. You understand? Did Jesus Christ say, For this cause came I into the world?
Yes.
A minister of the circumcision. He was to be their king. He told them how to recognize him. Matthew 21. He said, Thy daughter cometh, riding on an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. And they didn't recognize it. They said in John, We'll have no king but Caesar. Crucified. Thank God.
Amen.
That they did.
Amen.
Because I wouldn't have had a hope. I was in the world without hope. No way to get to God. Ephesians chapter 2. No way to get to God. Israel's low am now. I can't bless the seed of Abraham. As these did, those who first trusted, as these did back here, the Gentiles that he's talking about back here were in the covenants of promise, blessed the seed of Abraham, in the synagogues. Go to Luke chapter 19. You might as well go ahead and take Matthew chapter, I believe it's 18. Give me a minute. Matthew 18. May be wrong about that. Yeah, Matthew 18 and Luke 19. In Luke 19. I want to show you a couple of things out of Luke 19. First, go to verse 41 of Luke 19, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Beloved, the time of the visitation is when Jesus Christ came down to them. And they didn't recognize. You know how they could have known? They had the Old Testament scriptures, beloved. All they had to have done was to read and go back there to the promises made to the fathers. God told Moses, "I'll raise him up a prophet like unto thee. Him shall you hear, and he that will not hear him, I'll cast him out." Now, go to Matthew 18. Hold Luke 19. We're going to go back there. Matthew 18, verse 7. "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come." Well, did they come? Well, certainly they did. "But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Cast them from thee." Y'all want to follow Jesus? I heard Brother Moore, I believe it was Brother Moore, I heard tell this story about a Pentecostal church was having a revival, and people was going down front confessing their sins and all, and they all went back and sat down, and there was a pair of shoes up there. And the preacher said, "Somebody left their shoes," and the man stood up and said, "Their shoes had been taking me places I ought not to go." This ain't got nothing to do with class. But I heard another joke. Now, the preacher, he lost his bicycle. One Sunday morning, he was preaching on idolatry and on whores. And he left that pulpit and he said, "I remember where I left my bicycle." That's terrible, man. None good. I'm sorry. Look at verse 9. "If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out." And y'all know what he told you in Matthew chapter 5. If you look on a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And if you have, pluck your eye. He says, better go into life maimed than to be cast into hellfire with two eyes, where the worm dies not and the flame is not quenched. I mean, this is serious. You want to follow Jesus Christ?
You brought that up. I wanted to ask you something. The passage that you just said, where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not, is that the souls in hell, the worms?
Yes.
That was kind of like Jesus when he
you
was...
You find that in Mark chapter 9.
And in Psalms, where Christ...
And you remember Jesus Christ said, "I'm no man, I'm a worm." He went down into the heart of the earth and left our sins down there. And the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You find that in Mark chapter 9. Yeah. Now, Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven there angels. Now, Blood, we ain't got no angels.
No, sir.
But these people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had angels that looked like them. Do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 11 is our verse now. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And y'all know that verse is left out of a lot of your translations. It ain't even in there. It's out. Now go back to Luke 19. Luke 19. In this context is of Zacchaeus, Jesus Christ calls to him and all. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Well, there ain't no other kind. They was, you know, remember he asked them one time, he said, Galilean, when there's no God? Come on, we all saw it.
Amen.
Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false acquisition, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Huh? Well, beloved, if I got to be a son of Abraham, I'm in problem. I'm in trouble. I'm not like those Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. If you're Abraham's seed, then the heirs according to the promise. And if you're Christ, what he's saying back there, those that are baptized into Christ, they're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Paul wrote to me of heir that ain't in the covenants of promise. I had no hope. Now watch what it says. Verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost what? Matthew 15:24. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So if you follow Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you're going to have to make yourself a sheep somehow or another. And I don't know how you're going to do that. You got any idea? You know what God said you were? Those that are in Christ are new creatures, not sheep. In Ephesians, he said, of the twain, these two groups of people, he did what? Made one new man. Not a sheep, a man. And by the way, in talking about these new translations, if you ever get a chance to, don't buy you one. I've got one, I'll loan you if you want to compare it. New King James. Do you know they destroy Ephesians 1:1? Yeah. Well, let me go to Ephesians. Let me show you what they do. And most all of them do this. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what they do. You know there's two groups of people there in that verse? Those who first trusted and whom you also trusted. People don't like that. Go back and take Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, skip the parentheses, to do thy will, O God. Well, was Jesus Christ doing the will of God back here when he told them, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of heaven? Amen. Come to seek and save that which is lost? Of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. John chapter 3 verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Is that true to them people here? Well, it wasn't sent for us. He's to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Do you know these people here claimed Abraham as their father? Let me show you something. Take Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. See, if we refuse to rightly divide Paul's epistles, we get in trouble. And I thought about some of my shenanigans the other day. I was watching a cowboy movie, and this fellow was supposed to be cleaning the house up, and here come his company, he heard the horses are coming. He picked the rug up. I thought about me when he did that. My mama, I think mama knew what I was doing. Of course, we had so many cracks in the floor, except mine, most of it fell through the cracks anyway. Probably while the rug was there, covered the cracks. Lord have mercy. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. And by the way, when you study the book of Revelations, you'll find in Revelation chapter 5, there are seven spirits. Do you see that capital S right there? Mm-hmm. One Spirit. In Revelation chapter 5, there are seven spirits. Capital S. Check it out. So in here, there's one Spirit. And that's the Spirit of the New Covenant. Not the letter, but the Spirit. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. He didn't say make unity. He said keep unity. Unity of what? These two groups of people that the Holy Spirit baptized into the same body. Romans chapter 15, there's a body over here. These people here are baptized into that body. Although they were not in the covenants of promise. Of these two groups, God made one new man, a new creature. We're not born again. This is a new creature. And it was created in Christ when God raised Christ from the dead. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body, one Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. How many ones are there?
Seven.
Seven of them. Seven. Number of completion. When these last seven spirits, these angels, sound over here in the book of Revelations, God Almighty said, it is finished. It's done. You know what's going to happen after that? Satan is going to be bound 1,000 years, put a seal on him where he can deceive the nations no more, and after 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed, and he's going to draw people to fight against God Almighty, and God's going to destroy this thing. And then according to Isaiah chapter 65, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, until then, God told you to put on the armor of God. He didn't tell you to zap Satan. He told you to put on the armor of God that you can withstand the wiles of the devil. You see, we got people trying to zap Satan, and they ain't got a thimble full of power that Satan's got. Right. Satan's a god of this world right now, beloved, in whom the god of this world hath blinded people's minds and their eyes, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of God, of Christ, and be saved. Satan don't want you saved. It's the will of God that you be saved. and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 6. One God. Well, how many gods are there? You sure about that? Oh, wait a minute. Y'all drop 1 Corinthians 10. Go to chapter 8. Let's do something. Let me show you something. I believe you're wrong about that. Let's look at something about that. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. Yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Now watch what he says. For though there be that are called gods, you understand? These idols are called gods. That don't make them gods. Buddha, I imagine that little old fat Buddha still sitting on that counter down there at that Chinese restaurant. I've rubbed his little old belly, and I ain't got a bit of good out of it yet. He ain't hoped me yet. Maybe hindering me. Wow, this is serious. Verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. Now watch verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. In other words, Paul prayed for these Ephesians and Colossians, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. In other words, come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? Romans to Philemon is written for us, rightly divided. God would have you to be saved. God would have you to tell somebody that when Christ died, he died for you. He paid for your sins. Your sins ain't your problem. Unbelief is man's problem today. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. They were destroyed for lack of knowledge. God gave them up to a reprobate man. You know, it just floors me that the mind of man today. And and I understand when God's dealing with these people back here. He told Noah, he said, Noah, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth up. State of Maryland just signed a bill. Gay is to be married. You know, I could just run wild with that, but there ain't no sense in it. Y'all know the difference. A man leave his mom and daddy and be joined unto his wife. A wife is a female. A man is a male. Adam and Eve to replenish. Adam and Steve can't replenish. They can't. Two women can't reproduce. It's impossible. You know what that is? That's confusion. And according to this Bible in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, God is not the author of confusion. God is the author of truth. Now, don't get carried away. God allows lies to be put in his Bible for purposes, you understand? There is a lying spirit back here. going to study a matter authorized by God. My time's up. I appreciate y'all being here. Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday. Appreciate each and every one of you being here. See you. Very good to see you.